When the Lord pressed in today, he took me to 1 Corinthians, so I want you to come to 1 Corinthians to make together. First Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. You can check out the whole chapter, but I'm going to be touching on verse 29. It says, now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers. Just as surely as I glory over you, in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beast in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. That's the motto many live by, even Christians. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? What kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. Notice it's not as I determine. He has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and the stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. That's the verse that I want you to look at. Are you part of the Adamic, or were you part of the Adamic?
We were,
correct. Because what we were died when we went into the water. What we were of Adam, we became like Jesus when we went into the water and were baptized. We left the old pattern and we joined the new. That's why there's such a war. The spirit man is totally in full power when you let go of the Adamic. But the war goes on because you could describe it and you could see it in all of us as we continue to talk tonight. You are a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. That tells you where you're from. Your spirit man is from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. We won't be what raised? We will be what?
Changed.
So at the resurrection, those who come out of the grave, they're going to be what?
Changed.
And what happens to us? Notice the difference. At the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. The power of sin is in the law. The legalism that we subject ourselves to, that we hold others accountable to, think about what it does. How much of that is still operating in every single one of us? I believe there's a lot more than I realize. I believe that I see a little pit periodically, and it gets me when I see it, and I don't always have the courage to pray it out.
Amen.
You know why? We beat up on each other. We beat ourselves up, and the enemy laughs while he's got us on a ride. And it's time for us to awaken. That's not where it should be. When Dara was talking about holding her ground, and my brother was talking about making sure that he was going to speak, even if it hurt. Yeah. Because sometimes it hurts to speak the truth. But when you speak the truth and you do the very best you can, your victory is going to happen when you and I are in full submission. And we see the fruit, that the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, our victory is not in ourselves, it's through him. It's through his anointing upon us. It's through his ability in us as it continues to overrule the soul. But the soul can give you quite a ride. And it'll definitely torment because the anointing of fear wants to control. Yes?
My version here says, now sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law.
Abuse of the law, yeah.
Abuse of the law.
Sure. Same difference. Because again, you know, the law is what you and I were brought up in. And I'm not saying we should do away with it, but it will be completed in Christ. It's already been completed in our Savior. But when we join that anointing on the inside of ourselves, all of those things that used to torment us and break us and keep us in bondage is threatened. The minute you say, I resist, whoa, you've got a beginning of a war on your hand.
Yep.
Okay? The minute you stand your ground and say, this is God's word, and this is what I'm sticking to, and you have no rule over me. Wow. So verse 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. You like that, girl? Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Aha. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not wasted time. You like the stand part? Does that confirm your word?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Think about how much of the old conditions and the old rules and regulations that you and I still submit to, and we do it out of habit. Out of just sheer habit, we float along and go right back into some old garbage, and we don't even realize we're slipping and sliding into it. And then when we look back and say, how did I get here? I was fine a few hours ago. What happened? Where did I flow? You know, where did I flow with the old? How did I reestablish the fear tactics? And to be honest, sometimes he may tell us and sometimes he won't. You know why? If we're not quite ready to handle it, he'll just tell you to stand. There will come times when you will say, Lord, I want the foundations. I want to know where that foundation stone is, a crummy one. It's not a gold one. It's a crummy one. It's a fake. And I want to know how it got there. But I'll be honest with you, when you're in turmoil, that thought may never be able to come out of your, you know, you're so wrapped up in the emotions that you can't let go. And that, my prayer, is where the intercession of the saints come. Cry out, Lord Jesus, somebody needs to intercede for me, because right now I'm not sane. I'm on a different path and I know I'm not normal. John Paul Jackson used to say, I'm not in my right mind right now, Lord. Don't listen to all this garbage. Yeah. He would pray that prayer, and I remember, you know, the first time I heard that, I said, boy, that hits home. Because when you're under the turmoil of all the garbage that's hitting you, you're not in your right mind. You're in the mind of the man. You're in the mind of Adam. You're into all the selfish ways that you and I lived under. But when we're under the anointing of the Holy One, and we have the mind of Christ, we're not going to be bawling out and, you know, crying out. We're going to be calm, cool, and collected and say, hey, God, this is yours. This is way too big for me. Amen? And I want to make sure that you see that the transition, the changing of you and I, if we are still alive when the Lord returns, it's a change that's going to happen. He's going to dial us and give us what we were designed.